Boat owners get fooled by a website charging high prices for vessel documentation. And the conversation about Haines police complaints continues. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. This week, the Haines Assembly offered an apology to two residents who were temporarily banned from borough offices last summer. In June, former manager Bill Seward asked police to issue a no trespass order against residents Paul Nelson and Sue Waterhouse. Seward told the Chilkat Valley News at the time that Nelson and Waterhouse had acted in a bullying manner toward former planning technician Tracy Tree. After the encounter, Seward wanted to enhance security in the borough administration building, but the assembly shut down that effort. Nelson and Waterhouse said Seward's actions violated their constitutional rights, and they demanded a public apology. About 10 months later, they got one.
Paul, on behalf of the assembly, I apologize for the borough's actions back in last June when you were embarrassed and escorted out of the office and all the things that entailed after that. I'm sorry we did that.
Thank you very much. Thank all of you.
That was Assemblyman Ron Jackson with Nelson responding. Jackson took up the matter after Assemblymember Mike Case resigned a couple weeks ago. Case had been planning to make a motion to apologize to Nelson and Waterhouse. Jackson said former manager Seward's reaction was too extreme.
And they were kind of, I would say, inappropriate for our small town. It created an unfriendly feel in the borough administration for a while and some reaction.
There was some hesitation from a couple assembly members. Tom Morfitt said the borough lawyer advised that an apology could be seen as an admission of guilt and open the borough to legal action. Assemblymember Margaret Friednauer asked Nelson about that.
If we offer a verbal apology right now, are you going to sue the borough under this action in the future?
Not on this action, no.
Although Friednauer and Morfitt both expressed some discomfort with the apology, the assembly unanimously supported it. This is the time of year when Alaska fishermen make sure they have their paperwork in order so they're ready to hit the water. But recently, some of those boat owners have been targeted by a third-party service that charges much higher rates for Coast Guard certification.
I want to go fishing. I want to be done with all this paperwork. I just want to go fishing.
Norm Hughes is a commercial fisherman based in Haines. Earlier this month, he received a letter in the mail telling him to renew his Coast Guard documentation. It directed him to a website, uscgdocumentation.us. Hughes went to the website right away and paid $150 for a two-year renewal.
You know, and it's serious business. If you don't file your Coast Guard papers, they can end your voyage right there.
But a few days later, he received emails from fishermen's associations with a warning. This company telling you to renew your registration is not the Coast Guard.
And I'm like, oh, is that what I did? So I look back through and it's, oh yeah, yeah, that's what I did.
This company is making themselves look very closely to be a official letter from the Coast Guard when they're not.
Steve Ramp is with the Coast Guard Detachment in Sitka. He says the company called U.S. Vessel Documentation is sending letters to boat owners across the country. The Coast Guard charges $26 for a one-year renewal. The vessel documentation company charges about three times that amount, $75. Ramp says even though it's misleading, it's not technically a scam.
They're not doing anything illegal. They're offering a service to the owners of documented vessels for an agreed-upon price, and they are performing that service.
Zachary Johnson works for U.S. Vessel Documentation.
U.S. Vessel Documentation is not the Coast Guard and is not trying to be the Coast Guard, and it's regrettable to hear that people find that to be the case.
He gave multiple examples of how the company shows it is a private service. One is a disclaimer on the website. The disclaimer is located at the bottom of the webpage in small type. Johnson says it's also specified in the terms of service customers have to agree to when purchasing their registration renewal.
We don't have the same, you know, logos or anything. We have a completely unique and trademarked logo. We are not on a governmental URL.
It's not just Alaska fishermen and the Coast Guard here that have raised alarms about the U.S. vessel documentation website.
We are actively trying to get the company to change their policies to make it more transparent.
Charles Fort is Director of Consumer Protection at a National Recreational Boat Owners Association. Fort says dozens of the association's members have reported using the service, thinking it was the Coast Guard.
These third-party companies are permitted to do this, obviously. They're providing a service. The issue that we have is that they tend to look like they are U.S. Coast Guard official websites and letters.
But Johnson, with U.S. vessel documentation, maintains that it is not deceptive. He did not have details about why the company charges three times the amount of the Coast Guard to renew documentation. He also did not have information about the number of complaints they've received. If U.S. vessel documentation does keep track of complaints, one of them would be from Haynes fisherman Hughes. He sent an email asking for his money back.
I sent him a nasty gram. I said, I hope you die soon.
Then, just to be safe, he renewed his paperwork on the actual Coast Guard website. He says the documentation is too important to entrust with a third party. Last month, a Haynes Assembly member made public several critical accounts of the police department. The action motivated the union representing the officers to file a grievance against the borough. At its most recent meeting, the Public Safety Commission continued the conversation of how complaints against the police should be handled. KHNS's Abby Collins reports.
There's a very recent history with this.
That's Commission Chair Jim Stanford.
I knew what was happening with the complaints, and people, they weren't satisfied with what was going on. So as a result, this wound up in the assembly's packets, and I see the process as being really flawed. Somewhere it broke down.
Stanford is referring to an assembly meeting in April, when Assemblyman Tom Morfitt publicly presented four accounts of negative interactions with police. They included the officers' names. His action was condemned by Police Chief Heath Scott, and the union representing the police officers filed a grievance with the borough. Here's Morfitt.
It wasn't my intent when I disclosed those complaints to the borough to seek any action against those officers, but to raise this question of how the police encounter the public and to have a public discussion.
The complaints Morfitt brought forward weren't the only police interactions at issue in the meeting. A couple residents talked about their experiences with the police. Ray Staska didn't want to get into the details of his situation, but spoke up generally about his discontent with the department.
I don't want it to be exposed in the public, but I am damn pissed off at one officer's procedures in this town. I've been here over 30 years, and if it happens again, I won't just go to the chief. I will go waste my money on an attorney.
That's your right to do so.
Yeah, you bet it is.
That was Police Chief Heath Scott responding. Dean Laurie recently had drug charges against him dismissed because of issues with the police investigation.
We need some kind of accountability. And when police officers investigate themselves, obviously we're going to find ourselves of doing nothing wrong.
Scott said there is a procedure to deal with complaints against the department.
There is an appropriate way to bring these complaints into the police department without eroding the public's sense of trust in us.
Scott said he's the one that investigates the majority of the complaints. When someone has a grievance, they fill out a form and give it to the police dispatcher or himself. Then he takes into account all statements provided in the complaints. He also has to consider the officer's rights as negotiated in a collective bargaining agreement with the union. Then there's departmental policy and borough policy to consider. Scott said if someone doesn't feel comfortable going to the police with their complaint, they can take it to the borough manager.
Most of the time, 9 times out of 10, the public is not going to see the outcome. I give that complaint to the borough manager. It is considered a personnel action, unless it is criminal. If it is criminal, it becomes a matter of record for the court.
Despite some clear public discontent with how complaints are handled, Scott said it is essential to follow the procedures in place. In Haines, I'm Abby Collins.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.